So now I'm assuming for you, it's been all, you know, bestsellers and, you know, big houses and health and wealth and good times, right? You've been just hanging out in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I've been beating the cake ever since.
Living the dream. Look at you.
Yeah, we had to kind of exchange some personal dreams for God's kingdom dreams, and those are much better, of course, and will pay off for eternity. But no, God did bring us much joy, and life in so many ways was really good, but not so much in the material sense, although let me throw this in before I more fully answer that question. To sit down with our children and say to them, look, kids, it looks like you probably aren't going to be able to go to your private Christian school anymore, because that'll take a big chunk out of that minimum wage, you know. But God, you know, if God wants you to still be there, He'll provide. Well, without us ever saying anything to anybody, somebody comes forward, we don't know to this day who it was, and pays tuition for our daughters. So they could finish out their private Christian school and then go to public high school, which had been our plan for them to do anyway. But so God provided in so many ways, and life really was good, but not always good in the material sense, not always good in the wealth sense, and not always good in the health sense. In the health sense, in 1985, which was just 4 years before this happened, that I had to resign from the church ministry, I became an insulin-dependent diabetic. And it was type 1, not the type 2. I got it pretty late for type 1. It's the type that usually kids get it or teenagers get it, maybe early 20s. But I actually got it in early 30s. And so it affected my life, and it humbled me in a lot of ways, because I'd been very physically strong. I'd always been able to accomplish things. I didn't have to have that much sleep at night, you know, and not requiring much sleep comes in handy when you're a pastor and you have young children. You know, you're not going to get it anyway. And you know, mentally, usually being able to hold my own. And all of a sudden now I've got a disease that's affecting me physically. And also every time I have a low blood sugar, it's like I become stupid. it's like I, or drunk or something. It's good. I'm not thinking clearly. I'm slurring my speech. And so these will come on, and every insulin dependent diabetic or anyone who lives with one knows what that's like. Wow, buddy, you are not making sense. Eat a cookie or something. I mean, get some orange juice. You know, you just get that blood sugar up. So there was that. Fast forward years. Now, fast forward to other challenges along the way for both my wife and myself. But almost 3 years ago now, Nancy was diagnosed with colon cancer. And it kind of shocked us. There had been no previous signs of it, and it was pretty serious. We just had to deal with that. And so there was radiation. There was chemotherapy. There was surgery. And then later it was no longer in the colon, but it had spread to the lungs. And then she had to have two lung surgeries as recently as last year, one of them was about a year ago, and another was not that far after that. And she had two lung surgeries, and 30% of her lung capacity is now gone. So then right after the second surgery comes this pandemic that you may be aware of. That does what? Affects the lungs. It's a lung disease. And so now she's lost 30% of her lung capacity. We're both old enough, both over 65, that we're kind of in a high-risk group. And supposedly I'm in a high-risk group because of my insulin-dependent diabetes. But I don't think in those terms. But when you think in terms of a lung cancer, and lung capacity reduced. Boy, it has been a challenge. Now, the beautiful thing is, I have seen God do a work of grace in Nancy's life parallel to the work of grace he did in both of our lives when we started the ministry, and in the lives of our children, and how they saw God provide, and how they couldn't have all the things that a lot of their friends had, and yet they still, again, as you said, I mean, all of us in this culture, even people who live at poverty level are in the 97th percentile. Globally, some of them in the 98th percent. And so I don't minimize U.S. poverty. It's real and it's terrible. But compared to the rest of the world, you know, anybody that's even lower middle class here. So yeah, it was, those challenges were secondary. God brought great, rich things in our lives. And what I've seen happen in Nancy's life, oh my word, her time in the Word, her time every morning reading Paul Tripp's New Morning Mercies and reading one of, not Morning and Evening, but one of Spurgeon's other devotional books, her journaling. I mean, she has been such a model to me, such an example. It's been crazy good, the work he has done in our lives. And Nancy and I have both said this, is no, we don't like the cancer. No, we don't want the cancer. Yes, we keep praying God will take it away. But we're content with, if he doesn't take it away, he doesn't take it away. He doesn't always heal. And he often will answer prayer in a way that's not to the fullness of what we pray for, because we keep praying for complete healing, and we will keep praying for it. But he'll give us things where the growth of the cancer has slowed down, or it's minimal. We got good test results from her just yesterday, and living life from test to test, but not finding our joy based on the tests and the worry about the tests and the outcomes of the test. But as Nancy has said to me, you know, we all know I'm going to die. We all know you're going to die. I mean, life shows us this. Every atheist knows everybody's going to die. Everyone who knows God's word knows that our days are numbered. They're limited. Do you know any 130-year-old faith healers? No. I mean, everybody's going to die, right? We knew that already, but God has given us the grace now of living our lives knowing that, hey, we went on a vacation and we go, we don't know whether in this life we will ever be able to go on a vacation again. Because if this gets worse, that could be the end of the vacation. Well, the thing is, well, you only live once, so grab for all the gusto. Well, actually, you don't just live once on this earth. You live twice on this earth, and the second one will never end. That's the new earth. It's not just that now we go to heaven where the angels live and we'll drift around as disembodied spirits. It's the promise of resurrection and reigning with Christ on a new earth. And so any place it was on our bucket list, which is a whole nother thing. What bucket list for what? For this life. Well, what about an eternal bucket list in which all that will bring us joy will be eternally available for us to do? And if you wanted to visit someplace in the world, if you wanted to go to Lake Victoria in Africa, and that was a lifetime dream, and you never made it, and now you're in your 80s, or now you're sick, and you're not going to be able to ever go there. Well, there's going to be a new earth. Why not a new Lake Victoria? You know, why not a new Arizona, a new Oregon, a new Portland? It would have to be transformed a great deal, but God specializes in that. I mean, amen. So this is eternal perspective, and this is what we have learned. This is what I've seen in Nancy's life. I've seen it in my life. I've seen the lives of our now growing kids. I've seen it in the lives of our grandkids now. It's a beautiful thing to see.